Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to affect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip.
Oh, we are live. Okay, and we have special guests with Drool today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a pocket full of snacks, and therefore I am a target.
So cute. How's he doing?
You know, kind of like the rest of us, good days and bad days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Yeah.
And how are you?
I'm fuzzy. I'm feeling pretty fuzzy. I got a cup of tea, but I am I'm kind of fuzzy. I was up at about 4:30 this morning because this one decided to pretty much so kick me out of bed this morning. He started off like in the middle of the bed, and he ended up on very much not just on my side of the bed, but you know, as you do. So I woke up at like 4:30 this morning. My ass was hanging out of the bed. My foot was cold. I'm like, what the hell is going on? And he's not easy to move at the best of times. And the fact that it's, you know, his hind is definitely more delicate, should we say. So I didn't really run like kind of bump him off out of the way or anything.
Yeah.
But so I was up and tried coaxing him awake. And then the problem is as well, it's like when he's dreaming and you get all this, which is fine if your dog's like this big and a normal size, but when he's doing this, it's like being in a fucking boxing tournament. So hi. Yeah, you. I'm talking about you. And so, yeah, I was up till about, I don't know, 5:30, 6 this morning, sent messages to a few folks who were wondering what the hell I was doing up at that hour of the morning. So then I managed to get back to bed. So, yeah, I'm fuzzy. I'm feeling a little woolly-headed this morning. I'll be all right in a bit, but I got my cup of tea, so I'm good. But now, apparently,
We got our coffee. We have the floofies in the room, so we're all set. And we have
How are you doing?
Some stuff. Yeah, I'm doing better. Doing good. I'm also a little tired. Up at 2 a.m. I've joined the 3 a.m. club, which is an ungodly hour, but I'm kind of liking it. I don't know. It's just kind of nice to have the quiet time, but then I get really tired like now.
Yeah.
But this is good. We have some we have some juicy stuff to go over today, and I
don't we ever?
I sent that over to you yesterday when that plopped into the inbox. But before we kick it off, let's go through some. Oh, yes, let's shake it off and let's go through some housekeeping items.
Yep.
Good morning to everybody in the chat. Happy to have everybody here. For those of you who have joined us in the past, you know the drill. If you have questions for us, please drop them in the comments or feel free to let us know if you want to come on live and ask them live. We would be happy to have conversations with you. We're going to break down some special stuff today and bring it back up.
That's really special.
Yeah, the reaction. We have a couple shit shows going down, but I want to go through one of them and dive in right away. And I want to try a new format, and I don't know if this is going to work, but I created a little visual for you all.
Ooh, you got visuals?
I got visuals. Now let's bear with me as I try and bring this up, because I'm using two screens.
All right.
So
you're doing yours first, I assume.
Yeah, I'm doing mine first. I'm taking the reins here.
Not. You have at it.
Now, yesterday, you know, as usual, I go through my multiple email inboxes, and one particularly stood out to me because of this. Now, hold on. Let me just do this present thing. Present full screen. Oh, wait, no. But now I can't see you, so I have to move this over.
And I can't see the presentation, so I got no thing for what's going on.
Yeah, just give me a second. Bear with me, everyone. Here we go. This is a new format. We don't present generally. We just kind of like
talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, talk about it. But this is going to be interesting. I want to try this out.
Stitches out this week while you're figuring that out. I get the stitches out this week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that's the current state.
Okay, here we go. So
it's getting better, thankfully. Hi, you had snacks. Not only did you have some snacks, you look at this. I just got the... And this is totally full of dog hair because, well, you know, yes.
You can't have a cup of tea or food without dog hair, by the way.
So. I know. He wants the cup of tea. That's the other problem. And he can't have it at the moment. So,
all right. Where is... Here we go. I'm going to share my screen. Here we go. So this is what I got in my inbox yesterday. Ooh, money.
whole one cent.
So I was like, what the hell is that? So I had to click in because like, who's sending me 1 cent? Who's the schmuck that sent me 1 cent? So I looked at this and it got me to click into the email, which basically gave me this first impression. I was like, this is not a good first impression. If you can send me money, send me more than a cent.
Yeah.
Then I got this message. Hey, Danny, for those of you who are not viewing this, because this is also produced in audio. Hi, Danny. I found Audience First on LinkedIn, and I know this is an innovative way to reach out. Not. So
an innovative way for a cent. Yeah.
So I'm not going to waste your time here.
Yeah.
Already did. If we showed you how we're using unique AI outreach methods, aka the message you're reading now is an example that no one else is using to generate an additional 8 to 10 new clients per week. I get like 50 of those a week. 100%, 100 of those a week. Done for you, 20 a week. Would that be interesting to you? If not, no worries. Just email stop to weird email. And we won't contact you again. If so, our founder, Sammy, explains more in this video. Not going to click that. From Sal Marketing. This pissed me off. I was like, what in the holy hell? And I'm going to break it down.
I pissed her off because I got a text screenshot of this along with a whole bunch of ranting, which was quite fun to watch.
Yes. And you're not the only person who got the screenshot. The text group got it and we all ripped it to shreds. But there are a few things that are problematic here. So I kind of wanted to break it down here. Let me know if this format helps you all. Let's start. For me, there are legal, ethical, and tactical flaws with this approach. First impressions, outreach strategy, to me, not a good one, especially if you're going to send me a cent. Okay, let's just start there. You're going to send me something, fine, maybe I'll evaluate it. But in general...
Let me add to that one. This is something that a lot of us, you know, a lot of us aren't allowed to accept unsolicited gifts. So we start with that easy one. And if you're going to send something, send it to a freaking charity. And again, don't send a cent because I will reach through the screen and gut you with a spork. But, you know.
100%. Yeah. 100%. To me, the approach was manipulative and sneaky. Mm-hmm. I didn't like that. And also just misconstrued. You can really misconstrue the intent. And it just looks like a scam, especially if you're not familiar with the sender. So this person says they found Audience First on LinkedIn. Okay, if they found Audience First on LinkedIn, they clearly did not do any research because they know that we break this down and I repost the WTFs on Audience First all the time. So they didn't click it. They just looked at the you know, meta tags and the categories that Audience First is under. No personalization whatsoever beyond my name and the company name doesn't showcase any understanding of my specific needs as a small agency and my pain points. No opt-out, or really is no opt-in. Like, who the hell is this guy? No, like, totally not something that I won't even email that domain. That's a sketchy domain to me. Like, it's not a reputable email domain, an email, no professional email domain. So this to me looked really scammy and I was just spammed it right away. I tried looking for this company. I tried to see who this person is so that I could reach out to them. From this agency, I didn't find anything beyond maybe an agency in India, though that says Florida, so they probably incorporate Florida. Ali had a good note
on this one, which is you wonder if it breaks PayPal's terms of services. I actually wonder. Yes, it's a really good point.
Yes, and that was going to be another thing that I actually didn't add right here was terms and services, the legal ramifications here for sure. I'm not sure what the exact terms and services or the financial regulations are, but this stuff is dangerous. So if you're wondering if you're going to do this or if you should do this, do not do this, especially in the security industry. Nope. Let's email with a professional domain. Let's have an authentic approach, because if you did your research and you had good intentions and they were clear, you would state that out. They don't understand who I am. The message is not tailored, especially with AI. Like I like AI messaging sometimes. It's helpful. I use them as lane lines. So as an agency, especially customer research agency or a marketing agency, utilizing AI sometimes is super helpful. Like Gamma, I used this morning to create presentations. ChatGPT, I use sometimes for rewording some things that I already word really crappily. So if they knew who I was, they would say, okay, well, let's look at some interesting playbooks or interesting templates or interesting ways to use AI for marketing approaches, for outreach, for building your business. Give me value before saying, oh, we'll do it for you in 8 to 10 meetings and blah, blah, blah. I can't handle 8 to 10 clients a month as a small agency. No educational content, no opt-in. Super spammy. So I wanted to share this. I also want to know if this format, by the way, clearly there are some errors on this slide, but if this format helps everybody, in terms of looking at how we're breaking this down and building it back up, because I thought viewing things could be interesting. Chris, thoughts on the breakdown and the buildup and this particular, outreach tactic, and have you received this recently or ever?
So I haven't received this kind of one recently. I've had a couple of similar-ish ones, but nothing to this extent. This is not good. I mean, a couple of things. First and foremost, having come from like the fraud side of the world, this is card scammer tactics. You know, this is you typically validate whether an account is live or a card is live by sending, you know, a 1 cent and a 3 cent transaction to it. And if it is, then, you know, you've got a live card that you can sell. So, you know, you start seeing those transactions. We've been trained over the years. If you see those transactions, something fraud is happening. So now our industry is taking a fraudulent thing and actually trying to turn it into marketing. Probably not the smartest thing we could probably do. That's first and foremost. Secondly, again, I'll go back to, you know, if you work in the government and the .mil and a lot of other industries, you can't accept anything, especially unsolicited stuff. It's a cent, so there's some live or take in that one. But it's still one of those things. It's like, not only do I have to read it, not only this, but I'm going to have to report it because it's an inbound transaction. And yes, it's only a cent, but again, it's still a transaction. So it's very much a case of like, you asshole, you just caused me more work. To me, it's one of those. And this is where, you know, I look at CISIL, and I look at the CISO XC type of conference. And actually, this is probably good timing. I just got a note from Laurie, and oh shit, oh, I didn't realize that as well. Oh, I thought it was about the one from CISIL. I thought it was the one from CISIL. I got a message from Laurie, who runs the Rocky Mountain Great Dane Rescue, and they got the inbound donation from CISIL on the crew, but this isn't. So this is actually from Louis Dunsworth, Pete Shannon, and Maria Graham made a donation to Rocky Mountain Great Dane Rescue as well. So, aww. I mean, that to me, far out seeks any shit that you can give me. I mean, that to me is so freaking, so just different. So much one of those where it's like, that to me has an impact. That to me is something well more meaningful than everything else. And literally it came in, 9:13. So it's just freaking amazing. And thank you. Yeah, Brandon Tunney. So no, perfectly, just fucking amazing. So I mean, that's one of those things. It's just, it's you know, you look at it and you're like, okay, there's a way to do it right. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, I and we'll talk about the other one in a minute. It's tough though, because again, how the hell do you get to people like you, people like me, anybody else in our industry? It is hard. It's getting harder, and we're getting more cynical. But we're getting more cynical because we're seeing all these kinds of freaking tactics. So I think that whole level of like authenticity and, hey, you know, I did the research. And the same thing, we see it on LinkedIn. I see it all over the place on email, inbound email. Hey, I saw you on LinkedIn. Great. Congratulations. Did you read past the first line? Did you actually read my intro, which is, you know, beware of small, bald, wrinkly men? And people don't even do that. So it's one of those, or they don't do it until you call them on the carpet for it. Then they go back and go, oh yeah, I should have read this one. No shit, Sherlock.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's definitely one of those where, you know, it's the same thing we've been saying time and time and time and time again. It's take 2 minutes, take 3 minutes, take 5 minutes. I now literally have the link to the podcast, and I don't even bother responding most of the time. I send people the link to the podcast, and that's helped. Maybe that was one of mine. I just send the link to the podcast. They're like, oh great, we can go after her instead.
Well, I do know that there have been people who have reached out to me and said, hey, Chris sent me a link to the podcast because I reached out to him and he was not very happy. So thank you for doing this. So maybe like anywhere between 5 to 7 of those outreaches from people who said, hey, thanks for doing this. Others have been kind of sour, maybe 1 or 2 sour people, which is fine.
Not much. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. But I mean, I'm going to continue. That ain't going to change, especially in this one of those where we've covered stuff like this. I wouldn't say I got chastised. I took the one that I did. I didn't take yours because I really want to do yours as well. But it's one of those things where I sent it out to another group that I'm part of. And I got some interesting stuff on it. I got a couple of folks who were definitely in the court on this one, but there were definitely some folks who were like, hey, you know, there's legitimate tactics and there's, you know, they're trying to sell up and sell down, quantify, qualify.
Is this what you sent me yesterday, right?
The one I sent you yesterday.
This folks, this call, what did I say to you? It was, yes. The multi-thread buyer committee engage approach. Now there's a way to do this. So why don't you text us to how this went down on LinkedIn?
Yeah, I'll bring up my LinkedIn. He ended up in others. So this went down on LinkedIn. So it was actually a perfectly civilized initial outreach. Hit me up about 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 3rd of October. So hit me up 2 weeks ago. And part of the reason he hit me up is because I'd mentioned I was on the advisory board for the stuff. And he's like, hey, just sending an email, doing his quarterly check-in from the team here at company. Message said it was blocked, so I wanted to shoot over a note, probably because I might have already blocked him on whatever, but whatever. And he's like, hey, I hope everything is going okay. Now, he is from a logging and monitoring company. So he referenced the fact, because I told him, I said, hey, look, I got no interest because we're doing a bunch of stuff with Sumo and NewSpire. And so he referenced that. And, you know, and then he sent another one on October the 6th because I didn't respond. And he's like, hey, I know when we initially connected, you mentioned potentially needing to develop a strategy on aviation and mobile with that something on the roadmap for Q4. Now, I'd already told him that it wasn't on the roadmap for Q4. And so I shot a very, very short message back saying, hey, nope, we'll be in a 2024 timeframe. And he's like, okay, sounds good. We'll touch base in 2024. In the meantime, don't hesitate if there's any questions. I'm like, great, that's the end of it. So I'm like, okay, you know, I have done my part. I have responded, set expectations, and said, hey, it's a 2024 effort. Now, 2024 means January, February, March timeframe, maybe a conversation from there. Now we fast forward to yesterday. I get a Slack message from one of my crew. And the Slack message was, hey, Chris, somebody from vendor cold called me and name dropped you saying that we are in talks. I'm unaware and brushed it off as a sales call, but if it's legit and you're working with them, let me know and I'll schedule something with them. And then I was like, okay, who have I talked to over that company? And I realized I talked to this individual and talked to a couple of us. So I sent a message back out to him and said, hey, did you or one of the crew there reach out to one of my team and reference we're working with Chris? And he apologized. He said, yeah. I said, yeah. I said, you. I said that you and I have had previous conversations, and now I have a difference of opinion. Somebody's lying to me. And I hate to say it, I tend to trust my team the more than I trust somebody that I don't know. I saw that you were connected with him on LinkedIn. Apologies if I should not have done that. So I'll give him credit to some degree. There was an apology. But it was beg for forgiveness rather than ask for permission. So we'll get right into that in a second. And I said, hey, cold calling my team when I said we will touch base in 2024. What of that did not make sense? And he was responding back, makes perfect sense. We'll cease outreach to your team. I'm like, well, motherfucker, I'm kind of run the team, you know, CISO tends to be the boss kind of thing. If I tell you we're not dealing with it until 2024, you don't need to go and try and do sales cold outreaches. Just from my perspective, I am constantly told by my manager that we should try and have as many people involved as possible. Back to what you said, basically, the more people involved, the more chance of getting a decent decision. Noticed he had experience on a specific type of cloud system, so was looking to introduce myself and learn more about what matters to him. I already told you what matters to us. I already explained what we were doing. I already explained everything else on that. You didn't need to fucking do this. And he said, hope I did not burn any bridges. I responded back, burn, no. Flamethrower, yes. Yep. Let your manager know that end-around tactics suck and thank them for the material for a LinkedIn post in tomorrow's podcast. I got a slightly cheeky one back, meaning the bridges is still there, but you have a flamethrower and you're not afraid to use it. I have not responded to that one yet because I'm just going to leave it. And I don't want to block him because it is something maybe at some point in time, but it was like a bit of a WTF. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it was, I was pretty pissed because I done my part. You know, I wasn't the asshole CISO that just never responded. I wasn't the idiot that just couldn't be asked to and sent you straight into the black void. I do try to respond to sales outreaches, especially if it's something we're kind of like half looking at in the next year or two. I'm like, hey, hit me up in the next quarter or hit me up in 6 months. At least I want to try. Because again, the work is hard. It's hard work. So at the very least, if I can at least respond and say, hey, look, you know, not a bad outreach or not a good outreach or whatever, but yeah, we're looking at something in 6 months' time. But when you take that and you go try to go around me and start to infiltrate, basically, I look at it as infiltration. Yeah. You start to infiltrate the team and try to get your word out there even more. That I do not take that because now not only are you wasting my time, you're wasting the team's time. We have a shit ton load of other stuff to focus on. So yeah, it's not the smartest thing to do. And I get the idea of wanting to build numerous bridges. It makes perfect sense. But if you're hitting me up to begin with, let me be the one that goes, hey, love the idea about this. Let me get you talking to one of the team.
Right.
Don't go out and go around me and go fucking talk to the team and then expect me not to be pissed off. So how
should...
Yeah, not the smartest thing.
How should, though, at what point would it be okay to use your name? Or how should... I mean, this is kind of two different separate questions, but how should someone... start kind of planting some roots within your organization. Because let's be real, like a lot of people want to land and expand within an organization because maybe they could cross-sell, upsell, or just get in general consensus throughout the whole buying committee. Like that's a play. How do you do that authentically?
Right. Maria says it perfectly. When I give permission, you know, and she's said that perfectly. When I give permission, I think that's... And I'll often do that. I'll be talking with someone. And the way I tend to do it is I act as a filter. Because I'm typically at a lot of conferences. I'm on here, let's face it. I'm outreach. I get a lot of people hit me up. And I'm like, okay, I like what I'm doing. Let me introduce you to one of the crew. And then I'll make that intro. And then as far as I'm concerned, I will take a step back and I will let whoever I've done the intro to lead that side of it. But that is me giving, exactly as Maria said, me giving somebody permission to then talk to the rest of the team. Because again, my job isn't just after look after the organization. My job as the CISO is also to protect the team as much as I can. Now, if the team goes out themselves and goes make intros and does stuff, I have no problem with that. I encourage that because again, part of their job is to bring technology and bring solutions forward and go, hey, what do you think? Then we all talk about it. And then it's like, yeah, go explore that further. Or like, yeah, we've got three or four others. Let's get them together or whatever it might be. But when I've given clear indication, 2024 conversation.
Yeah.
You don't need to go do, as far as I'm concerned, an end around and go do that. Now, this is somebody I was listening to is they were like, hey, it's a legitimate tactic that's part of what you said. You know, the sales rep is doing the right thing, selling above and below the line. So I really don't agree with that in any way, shape or form. Because if I've given clear indication as to timing and next moves, as far as that's concerned, that's the end of the conversation. It does not need to be any further. Now, if you want to maybe, if you want to shoot a note out, but here's the problem again. If you then shoot a note out to the team and say, hey, you had a good conversation with Chris. Looks like we might be having another talk in 2024. Would love to get together. I still have a concern with something like that. Because okay, are you trying to undermine? Are you trying to move your way in? What the fuck are you doing? Maybe it's because I have a fairly protective nature.
Yeah. But at what point would it be okay to, so are you, let me try and phrase this. Are you implying that particular professional should wait until 2024 to start establishing relationships with you and the team?
Yeah, because basically first and foremost, our timeline is fluid. You know, we're an organized, no different than most other companies. Hey, it's a 2024 project. That doesn't mean it's going to happen in Q1. It might happen in Q2 or Q3, or hell, might be the end of 2024 when we really sit down and go, hey, this is what we need to be focusing on. So I'll hit 2024. We'll see what we're working on. And then from that standpoint, I'll address and adjust from there. At that point, now I have no problem going, hey, yeah, this is 2024. So-and-so is leading the project. Let's have the conversation with them. That's my way of saying, great, we're kicking it off, we're doing something with it, and off we go from there. So as, you know, again, put the CISO hat on for a second, my role within the organization is to start to look and see where all of these projects kick off, what moves, and who's working on them, who's focusing, who's interfacing with various parts of the business.
Yeah.
And it's fluid, you know, it's fluid for a whole bunch of different reasons. If somebody writes us a crazy big check, everything's happening in January the 1st. If we're still in the, hey, we're keeping going the way we're going, well, then it's going to probably be Q2, Q3 by the time we really start to kick it off.
So I'm wondering if anybody in the audience has had success in kind of, I hate using this word, but infiltrating the buying committee. That sounds very aggressive. But okay, maybe it's not infiltrating, but has had any success in connecting with multiple people within the security organization at one point in time. Like, what does that tactic look like from a successful standpoint, right? Because we're taught as B2B marketers and as salespeople that there are multiple factors and multiple people in the buying process.
Mm-hmm.
And so dealing with one person kind of decreases your chances of moving.
So I would disagree with that one.
Okay.
And this is trust. This is where trust comes into
play.
So let me, I understand where you're coming from. Otherwise, if I got 10 people, if you've got one person, then you've got to rely on that one person to be in a good mood, bad mood, all this other stuff and champion it. But the other side of it is as well, if I have engaged with you, I am spending my time, which I don't have much of, I'm spending my time to have a conversation. If that conversation gets to a point where we're having discussions about terms of services, master service agreements, proposals, and all that kind of good stuff, there is intent there, at least in my case. Now, I know there's some assholes out there in the CISO world, don't get me wrong. But from my standpoint, this is, I can only really say it from my standpoint. From my standpoint, if I'm putting somebody through the fucking ringer to get to a point where I'm looking at numbers and we're going backwards and forwards, I'm not wasting my fucking time. I don't have enough time to do that. So at that point in time, there has to be a level of trust that me as the champion inside the organization, A, you've already established that I've got the need, you've already established I've got the budget, you've already established that I am the one that makes the decision, or if I'm not, I'm the one that's going to push that decision through. At some point in time, you have to rely on me to go, hey, I'm about to go in front of the CFO. I need to know a little bit of background on the company. Great, let's have that. You don't go make friends with the CFO because that ain't going to help very much either. Or I might turn around and say, hey, look, I need a little bit more technical detail. I don't have the time, but do me a favor, go work with so-and-so. Or maybe I do have the time and I say, hey, look, I need a little bit of technical detail on these six bullet points. Do me a favor, give me this because I have to put it into a justification document. You've got to rely on the fact that if I'm asking for this, I'm asking for it because I want it for a good reason. I'm trying to do it for the best of the reasons. It is something I'm pushing through and I'm not going to waste my fucking time otherwise. I don't have enough of it. Mm-hmm. So now, again, the caveat on that one is you've basically got to quantify and qualify that the CISO themselves isn't jerking you around, because that's the other thing. But if I am, I'll tell somebody. I mean, when we did the initial conversations with Maria and the team, I was pretty upfront and said, hey, look, we're looking at a couple of folks. And mm-hmm. I even sent it to a couple of my team who found some stuff that we had to go back and qualify with New Spire and actually just get the background on all this other stuff. Very, very upfront with it. And I don't remember what time it was, but at some point I said to like Maria and her team, because she brought the team together, and I said, okay, let me bring a couple of our folks on as well. And at that point I'm like, okay, let's open it up because this is going further. But there's other stuff that I've dealt with directly that I've just pushed all the way through. But there's also other times I've said, hey, yeah, do me a favor, go work with one of the other crew.
Yeah.
And this is where it also gets interesting. If I've given you somebody else to work with, you don't need to keep coming back and justifying with me. I've given them, which means they are fully empowered. In other words, they're empowered to make a decision. They're empowered to say no. They're empowered to say yes. They're empowered to get all the data together. They're empowered to say go for it, because otherwise, again, why the hell would I waste my own team's time on just digging shit up for the hell of it? I don't have fucking time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's, and there we go. I think, yeah, to Logan's point, if you've got the CISO as a champion, you got the CISO as a champion, you know. And again, none of us in this industry have enough time to waste to dick around. Now, I say that there are, again, we've had this conversation. Sometimes there are some arsehole CISOs out there which are doing nothing more than fucking window shopping all the time because they get the free lunches, the free this, the free fucking golfing. That shit, I have a problem.
Or 1 cent.
Oh, yeah, that I have a huge problem with.
That's interesting. I'm curious to know. So, you know, we could take this offline, obviously, with some of the people in the audience today, too. So if anybody has success stories of establishing the relationship and, you know, getting buy-in across the board within the buying committee, ping me. I want to hear about those success stories. I want to see what that's like and how that works, what's the playbook. If there's a playbook, maybe there's not, I don't know. But it'd be interesting to see what's worked and what hasn't. So, because that's a big thing. It's a big thing in B2B marketing and in sales is it's that let's focus on the accounts, get across the organization within the security team. So, this is a good question from April that just popped in. How do you propose sales reps keep them in your head for 3 to 4 months?
They're not going to. I mean, no matter what. And that's, I think, you know, April's got to, not easily. Let me rephrase this. Yeah, not easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's be very honest. April is very hard to forget. I think it's because when you're doing, I think this is a good one because you develop that relationship. April's done it. Maria's done it. A number of others. Ally has done it as well. You take that relationship from purely a transactional, purely a, hey, we're having a business conversation, and you slowly morph it into a, hey, let's be a human. You know, I'll send stuff on the biking to April and I get stuff back from her as a very, very human conversation. So filling my inbox, and I mean this kind of generally, filling my inbox with articles and posts, probably not the best thing to do, because again, I don't have a huge amount of time anyway. And if I do my research, I want to do it my way. Mm-hmm. Very rarely, like very, very rarely, will a vendor or a partner send an article which isn't skewed towards them. Let's be honest. I mean, because especially if marketing's got their hands on it, putting something out that's generic that maybe doesn't always shine in the best of light is rarely done.
Yes.
So, and sending me links to stuff, and it's just like, oh, shit, I've got to look at this. I got to do this. That to me is a tough one because again, I don't have enough time. So anything from like a vendor or propaganda, hey, here's what we're doing, here's what we released, I kind of don't care about. But being that human, I think to me, that's maybe the big difference as well, is I want to know the human behind it. Because again, if I'm going to do business with somebody, I want to know that when shit goes wrong, because it's going to, that I know I can get hold of them. I know they're walking right by the side of me. I know we will get it fixed. And I know this is something that both organizations are vested in. And the only way that happens, it's that whole idea of breaking bread together. And typically, you only get a really good sense of that. You don't get a good sense of that at the beginning. You know, you can get wined and dined to the nth degree. And you know damn well you're getting wined and dined because somebody wants business from you. But it's when that conversation's gone, hey, look, you know, we're going to deal with something Q1, Q2, 2024. If there's a continual like, hey, how's it going? How's your day going? Saw the LinkedIn post. Hey, I was out in, you know, Moab or Zion, or I was out mountain biking or whatever. Those conversations keep the human side of it going. And Christoph says a good one. But again, to me, it's I don't want to have an inbox inundated with freaking articles. That's why I go out and do my research. I go to LinkedIn. I go to dark reading. I go to all the other sites that I go to. I choose where I want to go do my research. I don't need people telling me where to research. Plus, again, I don't need a constant reminder of something that's 6 months away. I got shit that I got to focus on today, not shit that I need to focus on in 6 months' time.
Mm-hmm. What kind of continuous education and value resonates with you on places like dark reading, LinkedIn, Reddit, Instagram, Quora, Pinterest?
Yeah. Gosh, scary ass idea in that neck of the woods. I find myself going down the YouTube rabbit hole every now and again for shits and giggles, which is not a good thing to do because you can end up in all sorts of weird shit sometimes. I've noticed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was wandering around something the other day and I ended up on, there was some stuff and then I'm like, huh, this is getting close to that, you know, the watershed kind of stuff. I'm like, I don't need this on a freaking corporate computer.
Yeah.
I tend to like well-written articles. Honestly, I get a lot of stuff from LinkedIn, and even LinkedIn will send me obviously off LinkedIn stuff. So I tend to keep an eye on that one. I'll give LinkedIn some credit. It curates stuff. But honestly, for the most part, my homepage is the BBC. If I want to know what's going on in the world, I fire up the computer, I hit the BBC, and I get a relatively level, relative being the word, actually either that or freaking Al Jazeera's, believe it or not. Between those two, you get a pretty good level set of what's going on in the world. So it is definitely one of those where I'll hit that. Dark Matter and some of the stuff is good for opinion pieces as well. They've done some really nice pieces where they've gone through intelligence-based systems, where they've gone through various other stuff. So I tend to get a lot of stuff from there, which is useful. I had a lot from the LinkedIn side of the world of it. And then friends, you know, just friends, again, text messages. You'll send me stuff. I get a bunch of other folks just send stuff over to me. And they're like, I'm like, oh, that's actually interesting. Do not send me articles from the BBC because I already read that BBC. Yeah.
What? So we're in October right now. We're in Q4.
Yeah.
2024 is coming up. What are specific market anomalies or differences that you're seeing right now that kind of are piquing your interest? What's going on now?
Oh my God. Sorry. I just got another freaking inbound one. Hi, Chris. I'm hoping you can point me in the right direction. I'm trying to identify the best way to introduce a new approach to API security. Reply, send a link to the podcast.
New approach.
And off it goes.
New approach to API security.
Interesting. That's a good one. I mean, so it's probably not a bad intro on that one. It's not necessarily the API security stuff. It's so a lot of it. So a big one for us, quite honestly, is it's all the data side of it. You know, it's data classification, data modeling, data integrity, ensuring ongoing data integrity. I mean, there's stuff like that, and there's a various few ones of those that we're looking at. We still have some work within the mobile side of the world that we're looking at. So got a couple of things lined up on that one again for 2024. You know, we have, well, I got a list. I'm actually putting the dreaded budget side of it together. So, you know, there's a number of things that we're looking at. You know, we've got a level of data leakage capabilities, and it's like, all right, what do we want to enhance that with? How do we want to look at that any further? As we start to work with more partners and suppliers, because again, you know, building an airplane happens not in a vacuum, it happens with all sorts of interesting third parties. So how do you ensure the integrity of the data as it's moving? How do you ensure the integrity of the data as somebody else is using it, and what data goes and what data stays? So all that ebb and flow of data. So a lot of conversations around that one. We have got a certain type of networking technology in place. And before we get too big, I want to throw rocks at it and go, is that what we want to continue to use, or do we want to look at something else? You know, we have a ton of stuff sitting up in the cloud, and it's like, all right, how do we make that more effective? How do we look at how we leverage their capabilities more efficiently? We've been looking at enterprise browser solutions, both, you know, different browsers as well as built-in techs and tools, because we've got those. We're working on locking that stuff down fairly effectively, because again, you want to talk about where everything is going. You know, when was the last time anybody installed like a thick client style application on their computer and didn't just open up a freaking browser and go to the nearest, you know, browser system? So it's, we still do a lot of processing in certain areas on the physical systems themselves, but so much of our business these days is now conducted through a browser, not through a thick client or anything along those lines. So it's, how do you ensure the protections that you have locally are also spread out through that entire stack of, you know, APIs, cloud systems, architecture, Kubernetes, containers, all that other kind of craziness? So there's some interesting stuff mm-hmm. in that one. Yeah.
You mentioned budgeting.
Yep.
Right now. Have you seen any vendors, or have you had any experience with sales professionals helping you make the case, helping you make your case?
I have over the time. Yeah, I have when I've asked for it. And I've asked for it a couple of times. I've asked.
How do you ask for it? Take me through that scenario.
Yeah, okay. So perfect example. Let's just say we're going to go buy a widget. Okay. And maybe, so 2024 rolls around. I've got my stack of things I'm going to go shopping for, and they've already been approved. So maybe I have to write a short brief to go, hey, I'm about to spend the money that I told you I was going to spend. That's easy. But let's just say a different scenario comes up. Boom decides it's going to go build speedboats. Okay. Oh, shit. We're going to go build speedboats. That wasn't in the budget. So now I have to take a step back and go, okay, I need to go look at maritime. Well, now let me go look at maritime vendors that weren't in the budget. And now what I have to do is sit down with this different widget and go, okay, I need to put a justification in place to spend, you know, $100,000 on this widget. That'll help me protect, you know, maritime stuff. Oh, I got a message back from Julia. I wonder if it's a good message.
I got a really good LinkedIn message I want to share, by the way. Anyway.
Think of,
see, we get messages coming in right and left while we're on live. I have a good example of how you should approach.
Right.
At least for me.
Right. Yeah. So Julia over at it's over at Salt, probably needs to realize that she's on live on a webinar or podcasty thing, because Julia responded and went, ha, 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 that was funny. Thanks for sharing. So I take it the security may not be on my priority list. You're making some really bad fucking assumptions. What you're not doing is doing your research. All right. So, yeah. So I'll reach out to, you know, again, this comes back to the game. It's like, okay, I need a widget. So let me go do some research in the market. And this is where it's really frustrating, because it was really useful when Victoria had the Kaliti stuff going on. Because I don't have a good, how should we say, a consolidated view of the market that one decent vendor can give me. I just don't, because I don't trust many of them. What I do is I'll go out and do my research. and go, okay, here's the four vendors. Now let me go talk with them, or let me ask the team to go talk with them. And we'll figure out those four vendors. Two of them can do what we want. Great. Now let's take a look and see which one will be on. Right. Now we figured out which one we think is the one. Let's have a quick conversation with them again. Right. Now we figured out this one. Great. Now I've got to put a justification in for buying this widget. That's when it'll be sitting down with the vendor or the partner and going, hey, look, we got to justify this. This is the criteria. This is what I've got. This is what I need some help with. That's me reaching out and going, hey, I've got to justify it to the finance side of it or justify it to other folks on the ETML team side of it. And so that typically is where I come in and go, hey, look, we need to have the conversation. Maybe it's to the engineering team. And at that point in time, we're like, the engineering team is like, hey, they need these kind of criteria. What can you do that can give me this data points? So that is a very interactive set of conversations that happen back and forth.
But at what point do you get to that level of like depth? Because I imagine it would take quite a bit to get there.
Oh, it does. Yeah, it does. It absolutely takes, to me, that's that final set of conversations. That's I've worked it down from 4 to 2 to 1, and I'm only going to waste my time doing this once, and I'm only going to waste their time. And again, I think that's, I know not all CISOs are the same. Let's put that freaking caveat in there with a big fucking asterisk. Because I'm not going to go waste everybody's bloody time. I'm not going to go get 3 or 4 people spinning their fucking wheels to do all of this shit to then go, well, I'm going to ignore most of you. That's an asshole move. That's an asshole CISO, and that shit should never happen. Now, if you're having to do an RFP, different conversation, because you lay that groundwork up front. You are very honest. Danny, I'd come to you going, hey, you are one of 3 companies. We're doing an RFP. I'm inviting you to do it. So it's up to you whether you want to spend the time or not. Here's the end goal. Here's what we're looking at doing. We do have the budget. We do have this. We'd love you to participate. Totally your call. And if you go yes, then you have committed up front, knowing that you are one of 3 companies that would be like, you know, going after the sale, shall we say?
Yeah.
Now, me as the CISO, I have to make it a level playing field. I don't have to go, well, I really like Danny, but I'm going to throw these other two in because, you know, I feel like I have to, because that's a fucking shit move as well. I hate that shit. Because at that point, I'm going to go back to the business and go, look, why do I have to waste 2 other people's time? This is bullshit. Now, yes, there are situations when you have to do a competitive bid, government especially. But again, you might have a favorite, but you have to go into that with an open mind and go, hey, look, you know, Danny's my favorite, but there might be 2 other people that actually wow me. And at which point I'm like, well, you know, I've got to do the best for the business. I have to take my personal, I got to take my heart out of it. I got to take my personal feelings out of it. And I have to go, what's the best for the business? But again, big caveat, not every fucking company can do that. Not every leadership person can do that. And if you feel like you're on the losing end of that, walk the fuck away.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big one. You know, your job, Danny, you know, your job would be to look at me and go, well, Chris, am I one of 3? Do you have a favorite? If so, why? Am I just filling in? Is this a government bid? Is this fair? What are the success criteria? And what happens if your favorite loses? Will you still pick them? You know, are you going to go back to them and go, hey, Danny gave me really good pricing. If you can match it, we can do this. That fucking shit sucks as well. So you've got to know going into it that it's a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That's super helpful. I'm going to distill those questions out.
Yeah. I think that's one of those where I think it's tough because you've got to be willing to walk away from business. And I've done it when I've run my own companies. I mean, I've gone in, I've done 2 things. I've gone in, I'm like, hey, is this a bid or is this an actual, you're asking me to do it? Well, it's a bid process. Well, fuck it. I don't want to deal with that.
Yeah.
Because you've probably already got a favor. Well, you know, we've used these guys in the past. Great. Keep using them.
Right.
The other one is I've also gone in and, you know, Maria and I did this in NewSpy. Maria was like, so where's the budget? I'm like, well, it's round about here. Okay, let's see if we can figure out that one. I've done the same thing. So when I got hit with this, it didn't faze me. Because again, if I'm coming in, when we did pen testing and consulting stuff, I go in and go, look, you know, do me a favor. Where's the budget? You know, I'm not going to put a pin, a number in it and go, I'm going to be within $500 of that, because that's a bullshit move. But if you're thinking it's a $15,000 budget and I already think it's going to be a $40,000 budget, then I'm not even going to bother bidding because unless I can change your expectations of what you think it should be, or unless you're just looking for somebody to give a cursory glance, at which point I'm not interested anyway.
Yeah.
So it was definitely one of those, to me, if I go into these conversations as the selling person, I don't just want to know the budget's there. I kind of want to know about where the numbers are, because we might be talking Rolls Royce versus fucking, you know, Reliant Robin at this point. And I don't want to have those conversations. I don't want to waste either of our time on that one.
So my quote, my request is for any security practitioners in the audience listening today, because I know there are quite a few listening. If you're interested in having some conversations with me so I can evaluate how people build your business case for you, I'd love that. So just hit me up on DM. I want to kind of dig in a little deep and see if I can distill kind of trends and insights from that. So that's my request for you. I do want to, we are heading towards 10 minutes left, but I do want to read this LinkedIn message that literally just came in to my inbox. And I don't know if it's coincidental or if it's the same schmuck that actually sent me the PayPal sent who was listening in. But I liked this because this is how I would have wanted to be approached. Again, this might not be applicable to you, Chris, but happy to get your input and insight into if you think this is a good approach or not. But yeah. This person said, and well done, Josh, because again, this is how I would have wanted to see an email or a message. Hi, Danny. I know you get contacted all of the time here, and I don't want to waste your time pitching you without your permission. But I was just wondering if you are taking on new clients at the moment. If you are, just let me know, and I'd be more than happy to explain how we can bring in more for you on a pay after results basis. But if you're not, no worries at all. Have a great day. Like,
holy shit.
That's all. That is so refreshing, because one, permission, no permission. He's not pitching me anything, which is good. He's dropped his differentiator, which is pay after and get results, which is fine. Yeah. Are you taking on new clients? You're a small agency. Like, maybe you're not. Maybe you are. Yeah. Let's figure it out if there is a fit. If you're not interested, no worries. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Perfect. Like, I'm wondering if the guy is listening, because that literally is the same offer,
done properly
that I got. Just, I don't know. Maybe this is AI generated. Maybe it's a person.
If it is, somebody needs to sniff and distill that freaking AI. Because that's a nice one. Yeah, so much freaking. Don't even want to talk about night and day. Good grief.
Yeah. But super simple.
Ooh, Maria just put up a good one. Helping a client building an internal business case for the board. Would love a session. How to talk to the board. Ooh, yeah. Okay, done.
We'll do it. Next week.
Yeah.
How to talk to the board.
Okay, actually, that's good timing, because my next board meeting is coming up in 3 or 4 weeks' time.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm going to let everybody know. I'm going to let this guy, Josh, know that he did well. Maybe I'll send him the
link. Yeah. I actually
send him the link to the episode.
That doesn't mean he gets to spam everybody on the list here.
Correct.
Otherwise, we will hunt him down and, you know, do all sorts of nasty and interesting and YouTube worthy things.
You heard that, Josh? yes. Okay. So, we are headed towards the end of the session. Chris, any imparting thoughts today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the very simple one is, you know, both you and I got hit up this week with stuff that just made us shake our heads. And I put mine to another internal group, and I wouldn't say I got chastised on it, but I got a little bit of, how should we say, alternative feedback. And I think this is where it gets frustrating, because there are ways of doing it properly. There are absolutely ways of doing it properly. And I love the fact that one just came in, because that's showing that you can take a negative and turn it much more into a positive. And it's the same thing. I mean, if you understand how a CISO works, if you've taken your time to either watch this or understand how a CISO works, you know that when somebody says something, you know, there's a champion, especially if you know the CISO at the other end. If you've done your fucking research and you realize, if I've told you something, I mean it. So there are ways to do it properly. There are ways to not piss off. There are ways to maybe feed up to the manager. If your manager is giving you shit for it, send them the fucking link to this podcast. Seriously. Or send them to me. I'm happy to talk to them. So I think I'm done with the excuses. I'm done with because my manager told me. I'm done with I've been told to do this. There's a way to do it properly. And I think that's it. If you take those extra 5 minutes, you can do it properly and not piss everybody off. So take the time, learn about the human.
Yep.
Yep. Very, very cool. I don't have anything to impart that's mind-blowing, but just stay safe, stay vigilant, everybody, and thank you all for coming today.
I'll add that one too as well. And as everybody knows, reach out if you need to. Love to everybody. Stay safe.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. This has been another episode of Oh my God, I got to get rid of the audience first. Seriously. What the fuck did I just read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition powered by Audience First. I got to figure it out. It's just in my head all the time.
Awesome. Love it.
God, host flop. We are.